The shepherd left the 99 sheep in the fold, because his heart was so heavy for the lamb lost in the cold. He searched through the wilderness and the valleys he did comb. He lifted him with his strong arms, placed him on his shoulder, and rejoiced all the way home. He does not mind carrying you. There is no burden too heavy, no valley too deep for him to walk through. Search the highest mountain, cross the burning desert too, 'cause he does not mind carrying you. Jesus came down to earth many years ago just to give himself a ransom for the prisoners of the fold. Up to Calvary that day, paid sin's debt that I owed. He crushed the head of my strong foe, pulled me from the lion's mouth, and carried me safely away. He does not mind carrying you. There is no burden to no valley too deep for him to walk through. He will search the highest mountain, cross the burning desert too, 'cause he does not mind carrying you.
CD farther along, every time I hear the song it helps me. And we try to, the things that make us bitter are the things we don't understand, and some things we won't understand till we get to heaven. So we can just, the song says, just live in the sunshine, and one day we will understand it.
Then do we
prosper.
Living so wicked year after year, but farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand. The sun shine, 'cause we'll understand it all by and by when we see Jesus coming in glory. In that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. Farther along, we'll know all about it. The sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by.
I'll do one more. While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back for some tomorrow. My trials here, I'll understand. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm gonna receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Joy bells are ringing in my happy soul today, for I have started in the good old gospel way. Jesus has come to my heart, is there to stay. Hallelujah, I am going home, looking for a city, oh, where we'll never die. There the sainted millions never say goodbye. Oh, there we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Oh, come, oh, Holy Spirit, all our hopes renewed. I've got a mansion.
mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother LeBeau. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Psalms, chapter 8. Psalms, chapter 8. When you find your place, would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we'll read all 9 verses of this psalm. The Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. If you'll notice, that psalm begins and ends the same way. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And that ought to be the testimony of every one of us here. We all came from God's hands, and we ought to all make sure we return to God. In order to do that, you've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. For my message this morning, I want us to notice verse number 4 and the question the psalmist asks when he considers all that God created, all of the marvelous works of the hands of God. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning for a few moments. What is man that God is mindful of him? Of all of God's creation, the only part of God's creation that he provided redemption for was man. When angels sin, there is no redemption for them. They are consigned to the most horrible place in hell, the lowest, most terrible place in that horrible place called hell. But when man sinned, God sent his Son to die on an old rugged cross, paying for our sin debt before a holy God in order that we might be saved. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Heavenly Father, we ask you to help me today as I bring this message. On this Thanksgiving weekend, we are grateful that for your own purpose and your own reason, you loved us. You didn't give up on us. When man sinned and hid from God, you came searching him out. And down through the course of history, after Adam, man did wickedly in thy sight, and still you came to seek and to save that which was lost. What is man that you would say, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? I'm overwhelmed today by your love for us. You had every right to just wipe us off into hell and rid your hands of us. But you chose to love us in spite of our sin. While we were sinners, you sent your Son to be tempted in all ways that we're tempted, and yet without sin on his part, he bore our sin on the tree. He suffered the wrath of God that was due us so we could receive the gift of God that was purchased by Jesus, which is eternal life. If there be someone here today that's unsaved, I ask you on this Sunday morning that you save their precious soul. Let this be the day that they'll look back on for the rest of their life on earth and throughout eternity as the day they put their trust in Jesus as their Savior. Strengthen our church, add to it according to your will, and we'll thank you for what you shall do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What is man that thou art mindful of him? In 2008, we live in a secular and godless society. There was a time when God was on the minds and the hearts of the people. In the first 25 years of my life, it was hard to find people who did not believe in God. Back then, the Bible was not an issue. It was the inspired, preserved Word of God. It was the final authority in all matters of faith and practice for man's life. Prayer and worship was the norm. Well, I remember as a boy in Wills Point, Texas, how that on Saturday afternoon, there would be a preacher set up a little microphone and an outdoor sound system, and there would be singing there on the street and preaching right there on Saturday afternoon. Nobody cursed him. Nobody mocked him. They stood around and listened and rejoiced that somebody was preaching the gospel. Back then, the first 25 years of my life, we prayed in school, and preachers would be invited to preach in general school assemblies. God was part of our everyday life, and that was just the way it was. However, during the past 45 years of my life, there have been unbelievable changes in our society and the way of life here in America. And may I say, not for the better. The secular humanist philosophy has permeated our school system, our society, and even our churches. Today, the Bible is under attack and is questioned by even the men who are called to preach it. God's name has been brought down to the level of another curse word. He has been given no place in our mind or in our heart. The average person walks the street without God today. His presence in our home has been replaced by the constant pursuit of pleasure and popularity and prosperity, while our homes are falling apart and many of our children are choosing the way of rebellion, immorality, and even perversion. And in spite of all these things, God still loves mankind. And God is still seeking after us. Though mankind has forsaken God, He's still seeking out the repentant soul to forgive him and save him from his sins. When David thought about the sinfulness and the worthlessness of man, and he then considered the holiness and the majesty of God, he asked the question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him?" What is man that God is constantly thinking about us? What is man that God continually remembers us in mercy and in grace? This morning, for a few minutes, I want to ask that question and hopefully give you some answers. What is man that thou art mindful of him? First of all, what is man that the holy God of glory is mindful of us? Why would God think about us? Why would God have a plan for our life? Why would God send his Son to die in our place so we could be born again? First of all, I want you to consider man as God made him. The Bible says he was made inferior to angels in that God made man a little lower than the angels. Angels exist for God's bidding, and their home is in heaven. They minister as ministering spirits to man. And yet man was made lower than the angels. Yet in verse number 5, we're told that God crowned man with glory and honor. That means that God has exalted man above all other of his earthly creation. Man did not evolve to where we are now. When God created us, we had a higher state than we are now, and sin has brought us down to where we are now. Yet God has crowned man with glory and honors. That means that God has exalted man above all his earthly creations. In verse 6, 7, and 8, we're told that God made man to have dominion over the works of God's hands, that thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. All are put under man's dominion. The scripture tells us in Genesis 1:26 that man was created in the likeness and the image of God. And man is the only one of all God's creation of whom this was said. God created man and gave to him the ability to choose to love and to serve the living God and to be loved by God. I want to give you two passages of Scripture this morning that pretty well sums up God's purpose for our existence. Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7 says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him, that's man, for my glory, God said. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So the Bible tells us we were created for God's glory. Is God getting glory out of your life the way you're living it? Or are you living for yourself? You're living for the world. You're in pursuit of pleasure and popularity and prosperity, and you have no time for God. I want you to know you're a rebel living in rebellion to the purpose and the plan of God for your life. We were created for His glory, the Bible says. Then Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. God created us that we might choose to love God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind. Are you doing that today? Does your life testify that you love God preeminently, that He's first in every area of your life? Now, I'm not just talking to the unsaved. I don't expect the unsaved to follow either of those two things, because they know not God. Their spirit is dead. They have no relationship with God. But how about you, Christian? Are you living to glorify God with your life? Is God getting glory from the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you serve? Is God getting glory from the way you're building your family? Is God getting glory from your life as you worship Him and serve Him and give unto Him? Do you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? That's what God made us for. How far are you from what God made you to be? Secondly, I want us to consider man as sin has made him. Here's the problem with us today. Sin, that's the problem. Now, we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to admit that we're sinners, but God says every one of us are sinners. The Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, we are a liar, and we've made Him to be a liar, because God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of sin, man is separated from God. Because of his sin, man cannot have communion and fellowship with God in his sinful condition, his lost condition. Ever since Adam's sin in the garden, sinful man has tried to hide from God and run from God. Because of man's sin, man is afraid and ashamed to face God. Because of our sin, and without redemption in Christ, man is spiritually dead when it comes to a relationship with Christ. That's what the new birth is. The new birth is making alive man's spirit. We are body. We're a body. And in this body, a soul and spirit lives. Actually, we're a soul with a body and a spirit. That's what the Bible teaches in that order. He breathed into our nostrils and we became a living soul. Because of sin, our spirit died. Our soul is eternal. When we get saved, the new birth quickens our dead spirit and makes it possible for us to be accepted by God and reconciled to God and have relationship with God once again. That's the reason Jesus said you must be born again. We'll never have a relationship with God. Sin has made man a stranger, an alien, and a foreigner before God. Sinful man is without God and without hope in this world. Sin has left natural man totally depraved. Hey, you know why you think the way you do and I think the way we do in our natural state? Because we're totally depraved. That means we're totally ruined. We're totally, totally rotten because of sin. You don't have to teach your children to sin. They grow up, they get it from daddy. And you did too, ladies. We're totally depraved. We got it from our great, great, great own back to Father Adam. Child has to be taught right. He knows how to do wrong naturally. That's the reason our society is so off base, because of the secular humanist society that tells you there is no God and there is no moral code of right and wrong. There is no value system except what you make for yourself. Well, my soul, we were already rotten, and rottenness does not become pure. It just rots more. Man does not become better without God. We become more vile and more wicked and more evil. We're totally depraved. We're sinners. Instead of having a heart for God, sin has given us a heart that's against God. Man is sinful, evil, and desperately wicked, the Bible tells us, without Jesus Christ. That's what sin has made us. Sin has put rebellion in our hearts. Sin has turned us away from God and against God. You know why you don't like church? Sin. It's your nature not to like church. You'd rather hear some honky-tonk song, some rock song, some country song. You'd rather be anywhere if you're lost than in church. Because sin has put rebellion in your heart and rebellion in your nature. Sin has made us children of the devil instead of children of our God and our Creator. Sin has made us to be without hope and without God in this world and without Christ. Sin has made us destined for eternity in hell. I'm sad to tell you, but I must. This is the condition of every man, woman, boy, and girl who's never been saved, who's never been born again. And then I want to say for a few minutes this morning, what man, as God's redemption, has made him. You see, when Jesus came to die on the cross of Calvary, He purchased He paid our sin debt. He purchased our salvation. He provided redemption for us. Now that redemption does not come naturally to us like sin. Nature comes naturally to us. You have to choose to accept Christ. You didn't choose to be born into this world a sinner. That is the nature that's inherent from our fathers, all the way back to Adam. But if you're going to be saved, you've got to make a choice to trust Christ. You see, just as Adam willfully chose to take that fruit and eat it, you've got to willfully choose to accept Jesus Christ before you can enjoy the sweetness of God's salvation. Redemption is available to us through Jesus Christ. First of all, God wants us to know that man is loved in spite of our sin. One of the most beautiful verses in the Word of God is Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we cleaned up. He didn't wait until we got religious. He didn't wait until we could earn it or deserve it. But while we were in our lowest state of sinfulness and guilt and shame in the sight of God, Jesus died for us on that old rugged cross. Sinful man is loved so much that God became man. That's the incarnation. That's when Jesus was conceived by the Virgin. Was born. He came so He could die for our sins and provide redemption to all who would trust Him as their Savior. Redemption has made it possible for sinful man to be forgiven and cleansed from his sin. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I don't want to stand before God a sinner. I don't want to stand before God condemned. But that's where I'm going without salvation. Jesus has provided redemption for us. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, He is the one who paid our sin debt. Salvation is not a plan, it's not a program, it's not a prayer. Salvation is a person. Jesus Christ, we accept Him. And when we do, our sins are forgiven and we're cleansed of our sin. They're blotted out, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ and will never be remembered again. That's what redemption has done for us. Redemption has made it possible for sinful man to be forgiven and cleansed. Redemption makes it possible for sinful man to be reconciled to God. Unsaved men, women, boys, and girls are at war with God. We're separated from God. A holy God cannot fellowship with sin and sinful man. Something had to happen before a holy God could be reconciled to sinful man. And that reconciliation took place through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus reaches up and takes the hand of God and reaches out and takes the hand of a sinner and brings them together in Christ Jesus on the cross. His redemption has made it possible for sinful man to be reconciled to God. Does not guarantee every sinner to be reconciled, but it makes it possible for every sinner to be reconciled if that sinner will accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. See, there are those that believe in universal salvation, that because Jesus died, everybody's going to heaven. Now I want you to know that Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for every sinner to be saved. But it guarantees salvation only to those sinners who will personally accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Redemption. Redemption has made us once again children of God. Jesus said to those that were unsaved, "You are of your father the devil." But oh, when I got saved, redemption has made that sinner a child of God, forgiven, cleansed. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together." Galatians 3:29 says, "If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Redemption has made us children of God once again. We can have a relationship with God. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. We're saved. Redemption's made it possible for us to rule and reign with Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's the resurrection of the saved. "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. As redeemed children, we now have access into the very presence of God. Access. Anytime we need God, all we've got to do is talk to Him. The barrier has been taken away. We're no longer separated from God. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're now fellow citizens of heaven. We're children of God. We're heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus. And because of that, redemption has made it possible for us to have access into the very throne room of God. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Being one of the redeemed, we now have a divine purpose and divine will for our life. Now we can serve God and glorify God and love the Lord our God. Those who have been saved don't have to fear death anymore. They don't have to fear hell. They don't have to fear the judgment of God any longer. No longer is this world our home. We have a dual citizenship. We're just passing through. We're on our way to heaven's fair land. Our citizenship's on high. Because we've been redeemed, the only thing the Christian will ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible, because we won't ever have to go there. Because of Jesus, we can live our life here with God's blessings. We can have a marriage and a home and a family that pleases God. But only after we're redeemed. Only after we're saved. Only after we've been born again. Now the question you must consider today is, are you a man and woman as sin has made him? Or are you a man or woman who has accepted Christ's redemption. Are you still unsaved? Are you one of God's redeemed? Are you this morning doomed and without hope as you are? Or have you been born again? God has already proved that He loves you. And He wants to save you. He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. He has salvation with your name on it waiting to give you as a gift. But you must accept Jesus to receive it. And Jesus' death for you will do you no good unless you accept Him. And my dear friend, if you don't accept Him, the Jesus who died for sinners will be a judge against you in that day when you'll stand before Him without God and still in your sins. God didn't make man to die for his sins. God made man to glorify God and to love Jesus with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind. You'll never know life's purpose. You'll never know life's peace and joy and blessing until you personally know the Savior. And the decision's up to you. God knocks at your heart's door, but He won't knock the door down. You've got to open it and invite Him to come in. You know, when I go out visiting, I knock on a door and someone opens that door. And I talk with them. I don't push my way into their house. I wait for them to invite me in. And when Jesus knocks on your heart's door, He's not going to push His way into your life. You've got to want Him. You've got to invite Him. You've got to receive Him as Jesus, as Savior, as the one who has redeemed you and can forgive you of your sin and save your soul. Have you? Have you? My soul, if you haven't been saved, what are you waiting for? Hell? You can go to hell and pay for your sin if you want to, but you'll go and spend eternity there. What kind of a person is so duped by sin? What kind of a person is playing the fool so deeply that he refuses to accept Christ as Savior? Jesus is waiting on you today. He's waiting on you to trust Him personally, individually, as your Savior. Every person who's ever gotten saved had to get saved the same way. They had to, by faith, come to Jesus, accepting Him as Savior. Have you? Have you? My soul, why haven't you accepted Him as Savior? Why would you delay it one more minute? Why would you gamble with your eternity when you know not Christ? The only thing you've got to look forward to after this life is over is forever and ever and ever in that place called hell. You don't have to go out of this life as sin made you. You can go out of this life as a sinner, redeemed, forgiven, cleansed, saved, made a child of God, an heir to God, and a joint heir with Jesus. You can leave this life knowing that heaven's your home and your sins are under the blood of Jesus. But you must accept Christ. There's no shortcuts. There's no other way. But Jesus. Father, that's our message this morning. Simple as it is, needed by every one of us, I thank You that I can look back to a day at age 15, August the 23rd, 1954, as a 15-year-old boy, I walked down the aisle of a Baptist church in Hayden Community.